The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. Very often, when a couple cannot have children, the woman may blame herself or in some cases get blamed, even before any medical exam. But experts say in about half cases of infertility, a male factor is to blame. What are some of the causes of male infertility, and can a male's infertility be treated? Well, these are some of the questions we will try to answer today. And joining us via phone from Howard University Hospital here in Washington, D.C., is Dr. Chilodom Ahagotu, Associate Professor and Chief Division of Urology at Howard University Hospital. Dr. Ahagotu, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Lenore. It's always a pleasure to be on.
It's always good to have you back here, Dr. Ahagotu. And let me remind our listeners that if you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment, please call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts and questions at healthchat@voanews.com. We'll start discussing male infertility with Dr. Ahagotu in a moment, but first, an overview of the issue. When a couple cannot conceive, the focus is often on the woman. In some cultures, the woman is blamed inevitably without any medical exam. Sometimes the man may divorce his wife or take another wife. However, experts say the man is equally responsible when a couple cannot have children. Dr. Michael Odwin is a gynecologist in the Washington, D.C. area.
Classically, we've thought of the female partner as having more of an issue contributing to the lack of conceiving as opposed to the male. The male factor is a significant contributing factor for fertility.
Infertility is the failure to conceive following 12 months of regular sexual intercourse without contraception. Experts say it is a growing global phenomenon. The World Health Organization estimates that globally, infertility affects between 8 to 12% of couples with women of childbearing age. About 50% of all cases of infertility in a couple are caused by men. The reasons are diverse.
There are common conditions where there's an inflammation around the testicles. Sometimes the sperm just, the count's low, or the motility or the ability to penetrate the egg is somewhat diminished.
Researchers have attributed diet as one other reason a man can become infertile. In a study conducted at the University of Adelaide in Australia, scientists fed male mice either a high-fat or a normal diet. They found that the overweight animals had poorer sperm quality and fewer pregnancies. The researchers say preliminary data in fertility clinics suggest the same thing is happening in men. Professor Hassan Bekas is one of the researchers.
A diet-induced obesity in the male has not only detrimental effects on sperm quality, but also on the development of the embryo. And also we saw a decreased level of pregnancies when these embryos were transferred to recipient mothers.
Experts say overall, men should be aware that they are as much responsible as their female partners when it comes to conceiving. Professor Michael Holland of the Society of Reproductive Biology says men should consider their own lifestyle and the health consequences for their offspring.
I think it's essential that men learn that health consequences can have consequences for their fertility and for the health and well-being of their offspring. And that means that it's an obligation almost to keep yourself in a well-balanced, healthy state with good nutrition and to take care of yourself.
A couple may be considered infertile if after 1 year of regular sexual intercourse without contraception, the woman has not become pregnant. Experts say infertility is a growing global phenomenon. And Dr. Ahagotu, thank you again for joining us. Now, we heard some of the reasons, some of the causes of male infertility. Can you go over them maybe with more details with regards to the genetic part of it? And sometimes it's also the environment, as when I was reading about this topic.
Absolutely, Lenore. That was a very nice discussion, and you're right. A good way to think about it is that there are things that are inherent to the body that cause infertility, and then there are things that are in the environment that one can avoid that can also cause infertility. In terms of those things that are inherent to the body, there are some families that carry genes that or genetic abnormalities that make the male sperm less fertile, either by affecting the way that the sperm is shaped or structured, or the way that the tail, which is a very important part of the sperm function, the way that the tail functions. So if the tail is not moving at a appropriately, then the sperm cannot move into the female genital tract and cause fertility. So those are a number of congenital disorders that can affect the male. Some of those are obvious, where they have other features that become obvious that something is wrong. And then some are not obvious, where the male has a normal development otherwise, but when you do the sperm assessment, you can see that the sperm is not healthy. Then if you look at environmental factors or factors that are on the outside, you can look at dietary factors. There are certain things, particularly recreational drugs like alcohol, excessive alcohol, and various recreational drugs that can affect the quality of the sperm. Also, the kind of underwear you use, which is something that's interesting. A lot of people don't realize that if you wear the bikini-style underwear, it creates a very hot environment in the testicle area, and that can raise the temperature even a little bit and affect the way that the sperm functions as well.
That's interesting. I never thought of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So infections, especially sexually transmitted infections, so if you have multiple episodes of, for example, gonorrhea or chlamydia, those kinds of infections, they can damage the tubes that drain the testicle. And when those tubes become blocked or scarred, then the sperm cannot make their way to the outside. So these are just a few conditions. And so if you're having difficulty with conception as a male, you need to get checked out for some of these conditions.
So at what point should a man get checked out for infertility?
As the information message that you all broadcasted suggested, that infertility is the inability to conceive despite 12 months of consistent effort. So if you as a couple have been trying to conceive consistently and after 12 months have not been successful, at that point the male should come in and be checked out.
And what type of tests are available to do that?
Well, the first thing we do is a history, a comprehensive history. So whether or not there, for example, is a family history of infertility. So have there been other men in the family, especially the immediate family, who have had problems with conception? We want to find out whether or not that male has had a child, either with his current spouse or partner or with a previous partner. We want to do a good physical examination, because there's things that you can find on your physical exam that can suggest problems, for example, hair distribution or the size of the testicles, et cetera. And then also we want to do some lab tests. And the most important lab test is what we call the semen analysis, or the semen fluid analysis, where we have the male ejaculate into a cup, and then we send the specimen and we analyze the specimen for a variety of things.
And there is also this issue about a sperm count being maybe a possible cause if there's not enough sperm. Can you explain this this idea of sperm count? What is it, and how does this affect fertility?
Absolutely, Lenore. So as I mentioned, the most important test that we do, the most important lab test, is called a semen fluid analysis. And semen is the fluid that comes out when the male has the climax or the orgasm. And so that fluid contains the sperm, And it also contains other material that assists the sperm in its function. So, for example, there's a lot of sugar, believe it or not, in the sperm. And that sugar is used by the sperm to feed the motor that generates the tail, that allows the tail to move. And so the sperm count is just the number of sperm in that specimen. And so that is just one of the several parameters that we look at when we determine how the quality of the sperm or whether or not this is a good semen analysis. So the count is important, but there are other things that are also important. For example, the percentage of the sperm that are actually moving. So what we call that sperm motility. So if you have a very low sperm motility, even if you have millions and millions of sperm in the specimen, if none of the sperm are moving, then as you can imagine, that is a poor quality specimen, and chances are that that specimen is going to be not very helpful in conception. We also look at things like the pH, so the certain acidity of the sperm is important, as well as, again, I mentioned there's a lot of sugar, so that sugar level is also important because it's the most important fuel ingredient for the sperm.
So can someone have a low sperm count and still be fertile?
Yes. Fortunately, it doesn't take a very, very high number of sperm to conceive. And so you can have a relatively low sperm count. The range is in the millions. So you can have a low sperm count and still be able to conceive. It's just that it would be more difficult to conceive. So we call that subfertility instead of infertility.
So for the sperm that are determined to be unhealthy, is it possible to treat them or to address this issue in a way that the men can become fertile?
Well, one of the things that we advocate, of course, is looking at those lifestyle factors. So if there's excessive alcohol, abstaining from alcohol, abstaining from any recreational drugs, cigarette smoking is also a problem, so cigarette cessation. We also recommend a healthy diet, a multivitamin, and we usually add folic acid and zinc to the diet supplement because those are important minerals that support healthy sperm production. So there are dietary factors that we encourage the person to engage, and then we bring them back and we repeat the semen to see if it's improving.
You talked earlier about the fact that some STDs can lead to infertility. Now, what about some conditions such as impotence or premature ejaculation? Can you tell us about some of these conditions that can lead to also infertility in men?
Absolutely, and that's a great point that you bring up. So you can have normal sperm production, normal sperm count, and if you're having difficulty achieving or maintaining an erection, that in itself can make it obviously difficult to conceive if you're not able to have normal intercourse. And so there are a number of different causes of erectile dysfunction. That's a separate, I guess that would be a separate interview.
Yes.
But clearly, if you're having difficulty achieving an erection to a point so severe that you cannot penetrate and you cannot reach climax, then that can be a problem. You mentioned premature ejaculation. Well, from a fertility standpoint, the only time that premature ejaculation is a problem is if the person is having premature ejaculation before they actually penetrate. So if you are having early ejaculation before you can actually enter into the female canal, then obviously the sperm is not getting where it needs to be in order to conceive, and so that could be a problem as well. And there are treatments for premature ejaculation as well.
Now, how does the woman's let's talk about the woman's role in this. When after 1 year both partners are not able to have children, the men get tested. I will assume that the woman will get tested as well.
Yes, it is important for the female to have routine gynecological examination. However, as the message mentioned, because we now know that male factor plays a much more common role in infertility than we thought. In fact, it's estimated that up to 50% of cases of infertility involve a male factor. Sometimes it's both the male and the female together. And so we always like to get the male evaluated initially, and then we usually do a routine gynecological examination, so to make sure the woman doesn't have, for example, an active sexually transmitted infection. There are ways to check for ovulation and those kinds of things. Now, if the male is examined and found out to be normal, then the female evaluation becomes more extensive at that point to look for possible causes that may be related to the female. So it's usually done together, but the first step really is to get the male in to get the semenolysis. But even if the semenolysis is abnormal, the female should also be checked because she could also have a problem as well.
Now, let's talk about the social aspect of this issue. As we mentioned earlier, in some cultures, when there is infertility, the woman is blamed. And what do you think, in a setting where the man even will not fathom the fact that he can be a reason, how should this be addressed? What should a woman do? How can a woman get her husband to understand that he's very much a part of this issue?
Well, as you so rightly mentioned, in many countries around the globe, there is the ongoing stigma that infertility is a woman's problem, to a point where women are often ostracized. You see this in all over the diaspora. But I think, like many other issues related to stigmatism, we have to focus on enlightening our people, the cultures, to understand that things may not be the way they appear. I think it's a very, very difficult situation, especially for the woman, because in many of these cultures, women may not have that much of a voice. And therefore, even if they are educated or aware of what's going on, their ability to effect change may be very difficult. So I think that it really falls upon the government and the society as a whole to really push forward information like you're doing with this radio broadcast, so that people become aware that, that this not only is this not a stigma, but it's actually there are many different solutions to these problems. Just because someone has an issue, it doesn't mean that they have to be discarded, that there are many treatments that are now available that can help couples who are trying to conceive to have the gift of children.
Okay, Dr. Hagotu, we will continue this discussion. We have to take a break, and we will listen to the news update. When we come back, we will hear more on male infertility.
Okay.
Don't go away. Health authorities in Uganda say the Ebola virus has claimed the lives of two people. They say two people in the same family have died of the disease in Luwero district, about 50 kilometers from the capital, Kampala. Five more people suspected of coming into contact with the victims are being closely monitored. The World Health Organization early last month declared an end to an Ebola outbreak in Uganda that took 17 lives. The virus is spread by bodily fluids and causes fever, vomiting, diarrhea, and in some cases, bleeding and death. A new report finds greater access to family planning methods would save developing countries more than $11 billion a year in reduced costs for maternal and newborn health care. The report by the UN Population Fund says 222 million women in developing countries currently lack access to contraceptives and other family planning services. It says an investment of $4 billion a year will provide these women with reproductive information that will save lives by preventing unintended pregnancies and unsafe abortions. And finally, Europe's top drug regulator has recommended approval for the first vaccine against meningitis B made by Novartis AG. There are five types of bacterial meningitis. While vaccines exist to protect against four types, none has previously been licensed for type B meningitis. Recommendations from the European Medicines Agency are usually adopted by the European Commission. Novartis also is seeking to test the vaccine in the US. That's a wrap-up of the latest health news. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing male infertility. And joining us via phone is Dr. Chilidom Ahagotu, Chief Division of Urology at Howard University. And a reminder that you can join our conversation by calling 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Dr. Ahagotu, can you tell us about the male infertility in terms of the long term? Can a man become infertile after having children?
Oh, absolutely. We divide fertility into what we call primary and secondary fertility. So primary infertility and secondary infertility. Primary being a gentleman who has never been able to conceive. We often get very concerned about the possibility of a genetic problem, especially if they've been sexually active and been trying to conceive for several years. And then secondary fertility, in which a male has had issues before but is now having difficulty. And then, you know, that helps us to suggest that it's probably more due to acquired causes than genetic causes. And so that's a helpful piece of information that we use to understand the underlying cause.
So in this case, is the infertility reversible, or it depends on what type of issue that he came across?
That is correct. So for primary fertility, especially if the causes are due to genetics, some are very severe, in which there's absolutely no sperm produced at all, no viable sperm. Those are very, very difficult to manage. Sometimes it's associated with conditions where there's plenty of sperm, but the sperm may not be as healthy looking or as motile as they need to be. And so there's sometimes treatments. As long as there are some sperm in the testicle, with the right approach, especially with all of the techniques within what we call in vitro fertilization, where we can harvest the sperm directly from the testicle and inseminate it into the female, or even take the female egg and the sperm and then culture them together, and then once it becomes a fertile egg, put it back into the female. That's called in vitro fertilization. As long as there are a few sperm available, we can even do something like that. So there are definitely treatments that are available if there are any viable sperm there.
Now, we heard about some women are freezing their eggs for later when they want to have children. Do men do that as well? Do they freeze their sperm for later?
Oh, absolutely. You can cryopreserve your sperm or freeze your sperm. It's actually very common in the United States. Various countries have various resources to do that, but in the United States, it's a very common and the access is very common.
And how healthy are these cells, or I don't know how to call them? Is the sperm after it's being frozen? How long can it stay healthy?
Well, there are typically no time limits. It's indefinite. But as you alluded to, the quality of the specimen declines over time. So as you go farther and farther, the amount of viable sperm goes down. But again, like I said, it depends on what you're using the sperm or how you're using the sperm. For example, if you're doing intracellular sperm cell injection, where you take one sperm and you inject it into one egg, as you can imagine, if you've got millions of sperm and then half of them are not very healthy, you still have plenty of reserve. Whereas if you're using the sperm to actually inseminate into the female, then you need more sperm. So it all depends on the technique that you're using to conceive. But the longer the sperm spends, the longer you preserve the sperm, the over time the quality of the specimen declines.
Let's talk about the age factor. We've seen many, many cases. Every day we see older men having children, as opposed to women at a certain age, you cannot bear children anymore. Is there an age limit in terms of male fertility, or how old can a man be and have children? Can men at 100 years old men have children?
Yeah. And, you know, we've kind of touched on this in one of our earlier interviews, and you're absolutely right. It's almost like a bit unfair because there really is no age limit to male fertility. Most men have some degree of fertility even into their late life. You know, ninth and tenth decade of life, men can still have some viable sperm. You never stop producing sperm unless there's some event like an illness or injury or something like that. And that being said, the quality of the sperm does decline over the years, but it's not like the female that ovulation stops and then you no longer produce eggs, and then those eggs are no longer viable. Males continue to produce semen indefinitely.
Now, what about the, I know you touched on that earlier, but I wanted to go back on the subject with regards to substance abuse, you know, diet and everything. But substance abuse in particular, how important is that in males' fertility?
Well, spermatogenesis, or the production of sperm, is a very, very sensitive process. It's one of the most sensitive processes that occur in the human body. And it doesn't take much to change the production of sperm. The environment is very sensitive to changes in temperature, pH, availability of nutrients and ingredients in making the sperm. And so when you abuse the body with substances, illicit drugs, excessive alcohol, as I mentioned before, cigarette smoking, these can definitely upset the spermatogenesis process, just about anything that you do. So what I recommend is, you know, to my men, is I recommend, you know, balanced diet, exercise, good living, abstinence from illicit drugs, moderate alcohol ingestion if you're an alcohol drinker, and then stress reduction, because there's also some studies that show that anxiety and stress can also affect the quality of sperm production.
And now, in your practice every day, when you meet men that are infertile, at least they did not know, and then you have to give them that diagnosis, how do they react? How will a man react to know that he cannot have children? What is maybe the first question they ask you, or they should ask their doctor?
Yeah, it's always a tough conversation, and fortunately, most men who are infertile or subfertile with proper treatment can still have children. But there is a small group of men who have very severe problems that really prevent them from having children, and that is always a tough conversation. I think I always try to have an upbeat, positive discussion about these things, and focus on some of the other positives that could be going on in that person's life. You know, if they have a good relationship with their spouse or their partner, for those who have had children and can no longer have more children, the fact that they've had children. You know, trying to look on the positive side of it. And as I said, you know, many times, even in men who have severe infertility, with treatment, they can often improve the quality of their sperm. And if they're motivated, they can go on to have children.
So what would be the final message before we wrap up the interview? What would you tell men out there about fertility or infertility, how they should take care of themselves?
Well, the first thing is, you know, for those who still believe that infertility is a woman's problem, you need to really change your attitude about that, particularly since we know that now men play an important role in infertility, and many times the condition is reversible. So that's the one thing, and, you know, to stop the stigma, the cycle of blame that we have gotten into. And I think that, you know, in many countries that's changing. Okay. The other thing is, you know, healthy living. Healthy living is important for many reasons, but it also is linked to improved fertility. So if you're trying to have children, you definitely want to live a healthy life.
Great. Dr. Ogutu, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Lenore.
And that was Dr. Ogutu with Howard University Hospital. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.